All right, you're very welcome back to the 9 till noon show here on Highland Radio. Loads to come in the next hour, so stay right where you are. And thanks for keeping us so busy again on the text line. It really is very much welcomed. Brendan Devaney is just sorting himself out here on Zoom, but we can speak to you anyway, Brendan. How are you getting on?
We can. Great. Good. Good to see you.
Organised chaos. That's what I like, you know. I don't like anything too polished.
Well, listen, I'm scrambling all right around the house, TP links and upstairs and away from the noise.
But your house is like all of our houses, you know, went with children in them. Every year there's something happening with them, whether they're going into this or going into that. And it's a busy old week for families out there, Brent.
It is indeed. And I usually wait 2 minutes before the show to make myself a coffee and We bit of dark chocolate. Try and lift the mood here, Greg.
Yeah,
you know?
No, don't worry about it. RW Hudson's going to Mean Ref for the first time today, which is all very exciting.
Oh, yeah. Right. Well, listen, my wee man just started St. Junan's there, Matthew. So we were in there this morning. So good buzz about the college there. Good crack. Loads of teachers. Bit different from my opening day.
I was going to say, so, as he got out of the car and headed into the college, you didn't say, "All right, son, don't do anything I wouldn't do."
Well, listen, I have a checkered history there from my time. So,
but you redeemed it all by putting St. Union's on the national stage, the international stage. So you're all right.
God.
You did for yourself, Brent. Come here. I think last Monday we were speculating on the inevitable, or no. Yeah, I think when we were speaking on the DL debate and then we spoke afterwards, the speculation was that Jim McGuinness obviously was going to get it. We know he's in situ now. We know he's got his backroom team. You're going to reflect on that. But again, exciting times once again for Donegal football, Bren.
Oh, yeah, hugely exciting, Greg. You know, and you think people was looking in the... I suppose, what was the alternative, you know, from last year and the whole saga about who was going to take the job? There wasn't a whole queue of people or people that we went after. They didn't want the job. And, you know, people then wanted Carey Lacey and Murray Kavanagh. And that looked like it was going to happen at one stage. And they backed off. So even this year, Greg, the fact that we have someone of Jim's calibre wanting to come back in, I think the timing's brilliant. His backroom team is brilliant as well. And I think we're so lucky, Greg. And I was looking in you think of it from his other last 4 years, Greg. You know, 3 All-Stars, 2 All-Ireland final appearances, 1 All-Ireland, 1 Division 2. But the effect that has lasting on Donegal GA, I was thinking about that over, you know, when he announced his return and, of course, his backroom team. Because previous to that, there was no... you know, massive amount of potential managers out there. And I think, particularly with him coming in now for this tenure, that after this, you know, you're going to have so many players from that 2012 team involved in coaching. There's at least 8 or 9 of them. So we're going to have managers ready-made. And I was just thinking about the lasting effect of his first 4 years there, and certainly now into these next 4 years. Whatever we won and whatever comes out of it, there certainly is some great coaches and managers of the future there as well.
Yeah, it really does seem to set us on a steady footing. And Jim McGuinness's second tenure is much more than a transition project, but it certainly is going to have that effect. So in other words, it kind of, and we hope and pray, it puts to bed, you know, this uncertainty and about management and what have you for quite some time to come. Now, obviously, maybe the future stars of Jim McGuinness's squad and established stars as well, of course, in action at the weekend. It was round 2 at the weekend. And, of course, you're going to be going through all of that with your guests, Frank Craig of Iconic Media and GAA coach Barry Meehan as well. What stood out for you, Brent?
Well, I suppose the big game, and Jim was at it, was Neve Connell against the Unions, and you know, it ended up a draw, steel mate down in Glenties, and really it was a game. So Unions had 7 points up, and a game as low scoring as that, Greg, there, you would have thought there was no way back. So listen, testament to Neve Connell, the most consistent team in Donegal now this last number of years, going for, you know, an amazing like 6 finals in a row they're attempting, which is really unheard of. So listen, they have that in them, Greg, that they're never going to say die attitude. So you would think, though, with the Unions team, the way Neve Connell play, sitting deep like that, you know, if you have a lead on a side like that, you've got to play smart. in terms of keeping the ball and drawing out the team, because if you're sitting as a deep counter-attacking team and you're way behind, you have to come out and play a bit. But listen, they were at home, you know, still early in the season. You know, you talk about learning processes, and every coach and everybody will tell you every game's a learning game. And I think both teams will have learned a lot from that match. Got a bit feisty. There was a bit of scuffling at the end. It was funny, TG Cahir there, actually, because I was down in Buncrana, doing Buncrana Mallon in the intermediate, and I got up as far as Newton. I stopped on with my mum, and you could see the whole commotion after. But then a wee graphic came up on the screen blocking it. It was kind of funny, but I think there wasn't too much in it now. But that's just the rivalry, Greg. Listen, there's no doubt that these two teams, you're looking at either of them, you wouldn't put it past. There doesn't seem to be anybody else outside those two for me are going to win the championship. And I know, you know, obviously, likes of Kilcare in particular, and, you know, Gador were defeated at the weekend. You know, in terms of the squads and the ability, I think at this point, you can't see the title going outside of either of these sides this season.
All right. I hope the coaches get a clip of that from the podcast and they can play it out in the dressing rooms and prove this guy wrong.
No one listens to me. No one listens to me.
What are you on about? Can we have you just briefly before we let you go in the DL debate? I'll remind people when it's on. Like, you've fully made this transition now, of course, from, you know, as a club player, club manager, soccer player, and all that kind of stuff, to the whole media side of it, between podcasts and live broadcasts and, you know, being the interviewer of players rather than being the interviewee. How are you enjoying it, Brendan? Because you're still right now, I was going to say something else, but deep into the game, but from a different perspective. It must be fun, isn't it?
Yeah, it's good fun. I guess, listen, we love the game, and then, you know, going to games now, because they are so defensive, Greg, and poor, quite often, like, a lot of the crack you'll have about games, it used to be you're always going to games just for the game, and whatever happened outside that was fine, but it's almost flipped now. The people that you meet, and particularly when you're doing this media work, the kind of the crack and the laugh you have around it, because, you know, even like down in Buncrana there yesterday, you know, teams are playing, everyone's playing the same, you know, everybody behind the ball more or less, and playing the percentages. So the games can be a bit drab. There might be a bit of life at the end of them when it comes down to low-scoring games, because there's never teams pulling away from teams, really, in a lot of the matches, you know. So, listen, quite often there's a lot of fun there. I got an opportunity, Greg, to go and do a GA podcast in New York next month. So
Hold on a second.
do you want to come? What?
You're going to do the podcast?
No, I'm going to do a podcast.
Yeah, but are you going to America to do it?
Yeah, yeah.
What, have you heard of? We're literally on Zoom.
No,
what
no
are you
Zoom.
On?
No Zoom in New York. No,
I'll
no,
video it. Yes, I'm coming. I'll video it. No problem.
We'll get on the panel. We'll do a Highland Radio tilt on it.
You never know. You never know unless you ask. All right, brilliant stuff. Well, tell us more about that next week. Brent, listen, the DL debate is live just after 7 p.m. tonight, and you can also podcast it, of course, highlandradio.com, reflecting on Jim McGuinness's return, his backroom team, and a full review of the club championships. We'll see if anyone has a different view to Brendan. And he's got Frank Craig, GA correspondent with Iconic Media Group, and top GA coach Barry Meehan on as well. So you can imagine that's going to be an interesting conversation. And you can listen to the DL debate in association with Sarah's Kitchen at Sister Sarah's Letterkenny. Go ahead.
Yeah, and Guy McDade made me promise not to install Glenn Swilly as anyway championship contender. So that's why I didn't mention him there, Greg. All right. So
they don't need that kiss of death. All right, then.
Good luck.
Take care of yourself. Bye bye. Brendan Devaney there. 086 60 25,000. A caller says, biggest mistake Jim will ever make. Now he'll go down as a loser and not as he was a hero. Listen, I mean, look what he delivered in 2012. He is a hero and he's got hero status. I don't really think he can tarnish that. And I think he wouldn't take on the role unless he thought that he could do a job. All right. And I don't think it has to be in All-Ireland either. I think it has to be good seasons where we feel like, you know, well, that was good. That was good fun. That was interesting. All right, back with more in the 9 till noon show after these messages. Okay, the time now is 11:15, and it's time for Monday Focus. What we do on a Monday after 11 o'clock is we use a bit of extra time to discuss an issue that is important to individuals or a group of individuals. But anyway, On Monday Focus today, we discuss the lack of transport for people with mobility issues in Donegal. Joining us on the show, to come in, Niamh, just so they have that. Okay. Joining us on the show, Support Guidance Officer at National Learning Network, Letterkenny, Sinead McAteer, and students Sean Sheridan and Kiva Begley. Good morning to all of you. Thank you so very much for joining us.
Good morning, Greg.
Great to have you on the programme. Okay, I'll speak with you first, if that's okay, Sinead. We talk about accessibility, inclusion on this programme all the time. It feels that sometimes we're making some inroads, but then you hear people's lived experience, and I'm not saying we're going backwards, but it's frustratingly stalled, I think, in terms of having proper access for as many people as is possible.
Yes, I know through the National Learning Network we have an advocacy group, and representatives from a lot of the classrooms would feedback issues, and then we could try and maybe highlight those issues. But one that would reoccur constantly is the lack of accessible transport for people with mobility needs. Should they perhaps require crutches for walking or mobility scooters for longer distances, or a manual or electric wheelchair? The fact that there's virtually no public transport to get to areas, you know, like tourist areas, shopping days, things like that. Kiva, isn't it?
Yeah. So, you know, Kiva, tell us.
Buy a taxi maybe, but that's about it. So the cost of a taxi would be...
For sure. Can I go to you, Kiva? What has your experience been?
My experience has been... I was going to Baba Fair one day, and I had to get a taxi because I couldn't get on the bus. And I had to go in the taxi alone.
Very frustrating.
Yes.
Yeah. And you'd have an experience of being in Dublin. Now, it is okay down there, is it?
Yes. And then you come back to Donegal and you realise how far behind we are.
And in terms of local link, that would be the most regularly used transport for you. How does that work for you?
Yeah, it's good. The actual local link that I'm on is the only bus that has a wheelchair ramp. It's the only bus in the local link company that has a wheelchair ramp. So I feel like...
So you're lucky, but I'm very lucky. You're thinking on other people that don't have the same access that you have. It's and was that provided for you, or is that a coincidence?
Coincidence, I think, yeah.
Yeah. And why should people with mobilities in Donegal be treated different to those in Dublin?
We're all equal. We're all the same.
We should all be all the same. All right, I'm coming back to you. I want Sean's experience as well. Sean, how would you describe your situation or disability? You're a crutch user. Is that how you describe it? Yeah.
Aye, and I have a disability scooter as well. And
okay.
The lack of transport for me for the axle to get around there, can I? It's been... the cost of it, and
your taxis again, aren't you really? If you want to get around, it's taxis.
If you want to do it yourself, you have to depend on other people.
Mm.
You have to depend on like your PAs and your family to get you places.
And can I ask you, Sean, what would you like to see change?
I'd like to see change in more accessible taxis and public buses, because we have public bus or the card for the bus, but we can't use it without assistance from family and from other people to help us to get up and down the steps.
And your independence, how important is it for you to be able to live your life as independently as is possible?
It's really hard when you have a disability, when you're balancing, you have to go around with crutches. So it is, and a scooter.
And the scooter, is the town you're around Letterkenny mostly, like, is there anything around the town that needs to change in relation to the scooter? So say, for instance, you could get the scooter to point A and travel from there. Is the town set up that you can move around okay on the scooter?
But you still need the transport.
Of course, to get there.
Because yeah. like you're not, like you can't depend on the battery on the scooter to be, I know it's normally always, should be always charged up, but you should be able to use your local transport without asking for other people to help out. Sorry. Yeah,
for sure. No, no. I was fascinated with what you were saying. You're doing fantastic, Sean. Kiva, your independence too, as much as you, you know, and you know best. That's important to you also, I'd imagine.
Oh, yeah. Very much so, yeah.
Yeah, okay. And if, see, this is the thing to Sinead. Mm-hmm. It's really great that we've got two excellent speakers in Kiva and Sean making points that cannot be argued with.
Yes.
Okay, what Sean's saying and what Kiva's saying. There's no counter-argument mm-hmm. here. Okay, I think there's no one listening that could put up an argument. So the people that make these decisions need to understand people's lived experience
yes.
and listen to them yes. and make things more accessible, more inclusive.
Yes. I know that through the LAC, we call the LAC, it's Local Advocacy Committee. We have a few representatives, including Sean, who would like to write to the Transport Minister just to address these, because we're wondering why perhaps, like, I know Dublin's a big city, capital city, but there could be so much accessibility and then none around Donegal, you know.
Well, we had a minister on, I can't remember her name, who's mm-hmm. responsible for Local Link, and she was coming on and was talking about how there's new buses being provided for Local Link, mm-hmm. right? And I said to them, A, are all these new buses going to be fully accessible? And B, you know, how are they going to be in terms of the environment?
Yes.
And there was no answer. Do you know what I mean? So even now, and she's a Green Party rep, even now we're getting new buses, but are they fully accessible for Sean and Kiva and others?
Yeah, there's other issues as well. It's like lack of clarity, because we have another student, she couldn't be here today, but she would require, just medical conditions, she requires a mobility scooter for longer distances. Mm-hmm. And it comes apart and we fold it up into three pieces and can fit in a standard car boot.
Mm-hmm.
So we phoned the local buses, it was Bus Erin, and we were told that it could be booked on the expressway buses underneath, that they put it as a bike, but whenever we turned up on the day, it was declined. So one of the staff had to drive behind in their car just to take this fold-up scooter in the boot.
Mm.
So, and it wasn't a big car, it was a standard four-focus-size car that the scooter...
Was there a reason given as to why?
They wouldn't transport it. No. And so there was a lot of phone calls from ourselves back and forward that day trying to find out. And the conclusion was, yes, it could be booked under a bike, but it wasn't the case on the day. So we have two staff that would accompany me in an outing, a shopping trip it was this day. And one person was there having to drive their own car just to put the mobility scooter that was folded up, quite compact, in their boot.
Kiva, is it difficult now to book? Say, for instance, you are going to Dublin and you want to go on Bus Erin. Is it a difficult procedure for you to book your place?
It's not a difficult procedure, but when you get there, you just have to see if you will be able to get on, because not all the time you will be able to get on.
And do you have to still book in advance? Because there's...
You have to book in advance, yeah. Yeah.
So if you decide that you want to go to...
You have to book 24 hours in advance.
But even when you turn up, there's no guarantee that they might say, I'm on my own, I can't accommodate you today.
No.
That did happen, you, Kiva, recently, where you booked a seat and they told you that they would be able to take you in the chair.
Yeah.
But whenever they turned up, they said they couldn't. So Kiva had to get a taxi separately too.
Yeah.
One of the summer outings, wasn't it?
Yeah. And Sean, you mentioned, and Kiva's mentioned taxis as well, and that's fine, but they're private sector, incredibly expensive. We can't rely on private people, you know, just individuals like our brothers or dads or mums or whatever. You know, there is a responsibility, I think, for the state to provide accessible transport.
The state needs to better also serve us, as because, like, we can't always have... We'd like to be out on on her own. So that's, and taxis are rather expensive.
Yeah, and is there anything else that you want to talk to us about, Sean? I know you've made a couple of notes, but I want to make sure that when you leave here, you feel that you've said everything that's important to you. So go through them, and if there's anything that you want to talk about, please use this opportunity now, Sean, or we might have covered everything.
I want to mention as well for older people, as getting on the bus was a stick, and how awkward it is on bus Erin and Ginley buses, that they have to get up and myself, I ended up having to use my mum to actually help me up the, go behind me, going up the steps, and then come back off the bus, go in front of me, in case off my balance would go.
And what's the alternative there? And pardon my ignorance on this, but it's best to ask the questions. I presume there are some buses then that have that's they're easy and accessible. You just step on them rather than up into them.
Aye, if there's ones able to step onto instead of going up the steps, it would be a lot easier for.
Yeah, and is that normally an electronic ramp that helps in that situation, or how does that work? I wonder. I haven't seen one of these buses.
It should be. A manual ramp on buses.
Get you, understood. And Kiva, most buses, can they accommodate you in your chair, most buses?
Very, very few.
Very few, okay. This progress is so slow, Sinead. Again, I'm going back to where we began here.
Yeah.
I just would love if they had one of these Oireachtas committee meetings, bring in the bus companies, bring in excellent speakers like Sean and Kiva, and explain to their faces why we're not making the progress we should. I mean, there was a lady from Ballyshannon had a six-month campaign just to try and be able to get access to a bus so she could go to the ATU in Sligo. Why are we having to have these battles, these individual battles? And then you talked about older people, Sean. We had a lovely lady on the show last week, Nora, who the bus was empty. She wasn't even able, she says, can I get on the bus to go back to Donegal? She'd just been in hospital, right? And they says, no. And then let someone else on that had. It's the treatment of people. I wonder, is there a culture in Bus Éireann that doesn't care? I hope there isn't, but you hear too many stories, Sinead.
Yeah, you hear about, a lot of the students would highlight the having to book a seat to get onto buses, even though they have travel passes. And that can be difficult because a lot of people don't have smartphones or phones with apps and are having to ask people to book tickets for them, strangers in the street.
We've heard the importance of independence.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then this thing whereby there's for 2 euro you get priority boarding.
We're not
flying to Alicante here. You know, we're trying to get on a bus down to
I know. Priority boarding. Yeah, you can go into the ticket station, say, there down at the Letterkenny Shopping Centre. But we've been in there before trying to book, like, tickets to go for a regional meeting with some student representatives and say the ticket machine's broke. Then it's broke just for the weekend. So you're trying to rely on those that have apps. Not everybody has an app to book their tickets. So booking tickets for each other. So it's not very convenient, you know.
Can I just...
Sean, just jump in, say whatever you want. Go ahead.
Can I just say something on the... we had to book a ticket from Bus Éireann to there. We were in Dublin there. And we had to book appointment. Or we had to book a seat for the... to get on Bus Éireann. And we ended up actually asked somebody in the public to help out. We couldn't do it online. It should be that you should be able to go to a person and able to do it over a counter.
And it's clear, Sean, you're a very proud man. And you don't want to have to be. You know, it's nice that you met a member of the public that would help, but you don't want to have to do that, do you? You wanted to be able to do that kind of thing yourself. Kiva, before I ask you a question, Auntie Katrina's watching you.
Hello, Nina.
Okay. Auntie Katrina. Nice. Hi, Katrina. Anything else that you want to mention, Kiva, as well? Or did we touch on most of it for you?
No, I think we touched on all.
Okay. Brilliant stuff. Points. As I say, you know, we're hearing you, listening to you. I just wish the people that make these decisions did as well. And I'll ask the same question. If you, Sinead, anything else you want to add?
I suppose just a summary that it's a basic need that should be accessible for everyone. People shouldn't be excluded from public transport, especially on crucial, essential routes, you know, that there should be accessible adaptions made to buses. You know, buses need to be upgraded if there's absolutely none of them in Donegal. If there is one and we're not aware of them and anyone's listening, please get in contact with the National Air Network in Letterkenny.
And also too, and Kiva's made the point about how things are good in Dublin, and we're talking about us living here. But, you know, we have to talk about to our... Now Olivia Montgomery's waving at you. What's going on? What's going on?
Fan base.
What's going on here, Kiva? Hi, Olivia.
Hello, Olivia.
But my point is we have to think of our international reputation as well, Kiva and Sean, because if people can go into Dublin and move around, I'm sure they know that it's going to be very difficult if they have if they're a wheelchair user or on crutches or a scooter user, that Donegal is like, do you know what I mean? So we have to think about that too. Sean, it's been great having you on. Thank you very much indeed. And keep up the good work advocating for yourself and for others as well. Kiva, it's always great to have you on the programme. You're a bit of a regular now at this stage. So thank you very much indeed.
Greg.
And last but not least, National Support Guidance Officer at National Learning Network, Letterkenny, Sinead McAteer. Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you, Greg.
All right, and that's Sean Sheridan and Kiva Begley, who seems to be related to everybody out there because they're all saying hello to you. Okay. And you too, Sean. Some lovely messages coming in for you as well. Okay, I'll read them out. Of course they are. Well done, Sean and Kiva. Fantastic interview. Well done, Sean. A great speaker and on the go as well. So, there you go. You're both getting the love today. Nothing for you, Sinead.
Oh, well, that's all right.
Nothing for you, it's all the love for Kiva and Sean. go ahead, Sean.
But it's a fairly, our Minister for Health needs to waken up.
He needs to listen.
And listen to us.
All right. All right. Good note to finish on. Thank you very much indeed. Calls have been made for an emergency meeting to be held with Uisce Éireann, Irish Water, following yet another burst water pipe in the Míonacladaí area. Residents in that area experience difficulty due to water pipes on an ongoing basis, and the area is one that is home to tourists, Irish language students during the summer months, and many depend heavily on having a dependable source of water. Local Sinn Féin councillor John Seamus O'Farrey said that he'd be asking his colleagues, the Cathaoirleach of the Glenties Municipal District, to call for an emergency meeting with Uisce Éireann to discuss the ongoing problems here. So we've talked about people that come into the area, but there's people that live there all the time and have to endure every outage. Maria Coyle's amongst them, I think. Hi, Maria.
Hello, Greg. How are you?
I'm okay, but for you guys, it's on and on and on and on, and here we go again.
Yeah, it seems to be a constant thing now, having water outages every so often.
And it feels like it's a sticking plaster.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. Yeah, it is. Very much so.
Yeah. Tell us what it's like. How often does your water go out? How does it impact your life?
Quite regularly. So, like, we on this stretch of road where I am, there's a 1 kilometre and there's about 20-odd patches in the past couple of years of constantly leaks, burst pipes. It is so frustrating that we up in the morning and you have no water, and you could have water maybe for an hour or two. It could be off for an hour or two, and then it could be off maybe a couple of days. And it's just frustrating. Like, there's a lot of young families here and older people, and water is a kind of amenity that everybody needs.
Mm-hmm.
And to have that off for, you don't know if it's going to go off for every day.
Mid-shower, mid-washing machine wash, mid-dishwasher wash.
Yes, exactly. Mid-wash machine is a big one.
Yeah.
That's the big one.
Yeah, and then if there are people obviously going to be caring for younger people or others that rely on water, we all know, especially over the last 3 or 4 years, the importance of water and cleanliness. You know, it's just, and it sounds to me with these problems, Maria, and it's not just in your area, there are a couple of other areas, but we're focusing on yours today, is that the pipes are so bad that when they when they improve a section or when they seal a weakness in the pipes, it actually almost puts extra pressure on another area, a weak spot that goes, and it's just constant whack-a-mole, it reminds me of, that, you know, you can't...
Yeah, that's exactly it. It's like the pipes here haven't been replaced in about 40-odd years. So they're replacing old pipes with new pipes, which is putting pressure on the older pipes it's in.
Yeah, it needs a proper investment action plan to say, right, we recognise there's an issue there and this is what we're going to do to fix it. Because as well as anything else, the sooner they get rid of the old asbestos pipes, the better.
Yeah, exactly. That's what it is, because the water is just... It can be okay.
I just would have thought financially, Maria, it makes more sense to, when there is a particular area of difficulty, to go in, dig the road up once and replace it rather than constantly sending crews there. You know, financially, I wonder, would it not make much more sense to go and fix a problem once and for all rather than this constantly returning to the same area, fixing segments bit by bit, which will eventually all get ripped out and replaced anyway, just as a matter of when?
It would be financially better for water, for ice water. I guess, I think it was something like 400,000 in this area alone to fix the leaks that's in the pipes.
My word, that's huge.
Right. Like, they would put that, if they put new water, if they invested that money into new pipes.
Okay.
It would be a lot better for everybody.
Right, so hopefully now, and I'm sure they will, all Glenties electoral area councillors will join with John Seamus O'Ferry and the Cathaoirleach, which I'm sure he won't be found wanting either, in convening or at least calling for this emergency meeting. So, Iasca Éireann, explain the reason as to why this is happening and what they're going to do about it.
We have asked. We did have a meeting in 2018 when it was starting, and we were supposed to meet by Irish Water, but they haven't appeared.
Okay, well, listen, we're going to make our inquiries as well to see what they say, how they justify this. Maria, thanks for helping us tell the story this morning. Hey.
No bother, thank
you. Take care of yourself. Maria Coyle there, a disgruntled resident, and rightly so. On the 23rd of August, I celebrated my 60th birthday and also retired after 42 years working in Unpost. I was overwhelmed and humbled by the number of gifts, cards and messages of good wishes I received from family, friends, colleagues and members of the public. It would be nearly impossible for me to thank people individually, so I want to take this opportunity, through your good selves at Highland Radio, to say a very sincere thank you to all those people for their thoughtfulness and kindness. It was very much appreciated, and that's coming in from Tommy McNutt in Ballybuffet. And Tommy, if you don't mind, and I think I can, on all of the people over those 42 years that you delivered post to, with a smile on your face and a skip in your step, and also I'm sure for all of your work colleagues, you spend 42 odd years or parts of it with someone, you get to know them really well. I'm sure they all thank you for your fantastic service and wish you health and happiness in your retirement. And at 60, you're only a nipper. So hopefully you've plenty of a time to enjoy it too. Well done. Thank you very much for that, Tommy. And we are more than happy to use our airwaves to pass that message on for you. Good morning. In relation to the phone mast in Castlefin, I agree that it would be detrimental to the area, which is a rural setting, which would be an eyesore for the skyline. Also, there's a lot of walkers and local groups who walk in that area and would affect local wildlife too, and the tranquility, not to mention that it will devalue local property and affect farms access. So a growing, we're getting a growing sense of people not happy with that transmitter in that area, if indeed that is what it is. Okay, right. We are in the final week of our summer cash draw. It's a mega summer cash draw already. €7,500 has been won by three listeners to the radio station, three ticket buyers. They all each have €2,500 to spend, which is fantastic. Now, the Friday, I'm going to argue and say this is it, man. This is the big one. This coming Friday, Lee Gooch, €2,500 to give away, €2,500. And on the 9 till noon show with me, €10,000, massive amount of money. I'd take the $2,500, I'd bite your arm off for the 10. You can be within a chance of winning this money still, by the way, because tickets are available and will be available until Friday morning. You enter both draws now at this point. It's quite as simple as that. So if you want to get your tickets to be in with a chance of winning and join our other three big winners, then hop on to our website, highlandradio.com. You can buy your tickets there. You just click the Summer Cash Draw banner. You can't miss it. And you can buy your tickets safely and securely online. There are tenner each. Now, obviously, we only want people who can afford it and it's within their means and they can have a little bit of a punt to do so. But if you're either yourself or if you want to group with other people, if you buy 5 tickets, you get an extra 1 free. If you buy 8 tickets, you get 2 free. Okay, so it's not too bad at all, is it? So if you want to buy a ticket, go on our website, highlandradio.com. Now, we can accommodate you doing it over the phone as well, too, because we want it to be accessible to everybody. So if you want to give us a call, we can process that for you. The lines are open now for that 07491 25,000. I anticipate there will be a rush towards the end of the week. So if you're going to get a ticket, now's a nice quiet time to do so. 07491 25,000. We can process that, give you the number. Every number is in the draw drum, the trombola. I never heard the word trombola since we started doing this. It was a draw drum for me. But anyway, there you go. New words. And if you want to call in to us as well, we can sort that out as well. Not everyone wants to use a card and we want to make sure they're accommodated as well. We're at the Mountaintop in Letterkenny. Call in and we'll sort you out that way too. But as I say, there'll be a rush towards the end of the week and it doesn't take a huge rush to tie up resources. So make sure you get it nice and early, like today, for an example, if you wish, because it's a bit quieter now and we can push that for you. And then you've got your ticket in your back pocket for the big draws on Friday. Lee Gooch's show. Wonder what time he'll do it at. Probably between 8:30 and 9:00 if I know the Goocher. Do you think I'll be asked to come in and help him? Might do. Yeah, might do that if he wants me to. And then we have the big one then, the big 10 grand given away on Friday during this show. And actually, while I'm here, just to mention as well, because it's all very exciting, very shortly thereafter, we are going to hop over to London because we are broadcasting live from the London Vintage Show, which is an event that runs annually, and we've been there last year, and I think we were there once pre-COVID. It's a fantastic day out, by the way. If anyone's over in London or in and around it and can get over there, I think it's £10 to get in. But there's tractors, there's machinery, there is animals that are there shearing, there's some fantastic I can't think of the words, you know, where you make wool and all. What do you call that? All those kind of displays. It's a wonderful day in a massive facility. There's no worrying about parking, by the way. Then there's a massive stage and a big wooden dance floor in the front of it. There was in previous years. And the weather's looking really good for it as well. So I think quite a few people from Donegal go over for that. So when we're there, we're broadcasting on Sunday between 12 and 2. Come and say hello, because we'll be streaming the show back to the radio station and broadcasting out on social media. If you're over in London, come over and say hello, or make your way to it, because it is a wonderful event and it's just like a little pocket of Ireland in the heart of London, and we can't wait to get over there. We're broadcasting on Sunday between noon and 2. Might call it the noon to 2 show from London. But anyway, no, we're there from noon till 2, and we're going to have who else is going to be there? Neve's going to be with us, of course. Kevin's going to be there as well, doing the technical stuff. So we really want to see you all and come over and say hello as well, because I love meeting people. So please come over and say hello to us as well. All right, that's letting you know everything that's going on. More about that later in the week. Okay, Councillor Paul Canning joins us now. Paul, good morning to you. How are you keeping?
Good morning, Greg. I'm a little bit under the weather. I had a hectic weekend. We were in the Calais Fest and we probably overstayed our welcome, you know.
But there's no shame in that game, Paul. No shame in that game. You have to meet your people, man.
Well, my throat knows about it today. You know?
Right. You weren't singing?
No, I wasn't singing. No, I wasn't singing.
All right, okay. Well, listen, on Friday, there was an important meeting, wasn't there, Paul? Tell us about it.
Yeah, the planners of the Donegal County Council met with all of the agents and architects that will be putting in applications in relation to the defective block scheme. So Yunan Kwan, who is the senior planner within Donegal County Council, decided to bring all of us into the one room, and also to bring the planners into the one room, so that when we are putting in for applications, that we are all on the same hymn sheet.
And this will obviously streamline it. And also, really, because what we're talking about here is as much as is possible, we know what these families are going through. It's to lessen the burden on them, I presume.
Oh, very much so. To make it easier for everybody to get through the process, because the process will be, there'll be a lot of red tape involved in the process. But at least if the architect from the offset gets it right from the start, it will make it easier, because there is scenarios out there that people will not realise is there until they actually get into the nuts and bolts of it. We will have situations where people 10 or 20 years ago would have been building their house, and maybe for one reason or another, they might have had to relocate it. Maybe they had very serious rock, or maybe they had a very soft spot on the site. And they shifted that house maybe a couple of metres and didn't realise that this scenario will ever come across. So what will happen there, then they will actually have to apply for retention of that house first before they get on the scheme. So they have to rightify everything that's needed first before they actually can get on the scheme. And that also applies for their septic tank and percolation area, or maybe their site entrance mightn't be exactly where it's at. So those people will have to apply for retention of that while they're also applying for demolition. But in fairness to the planning team, they say you can do it all in the one application. So whenever you're putting in your application, if you are going for a change of house type, you can actually retain, apply to demolish, and apply to build in the new. That's sort of where we're trying to streamline it.
Right. So whilst in explaining it, it does sound incredibly convoluted and complicated, and it's just the system. It's not your explanation. In reality, it's been set in such a way now that it will be as simple as possibly could be in the planning process.
Yeah, it is. And in fairness to Eunan and the planning team, that there will be individual cases, and he's going to, the planners are going to be sympathetic to the applicants and are going to work their way through the system as easy and cleanly as possible.
Having had a chance to sort of look at it, the workings of it, the potential workings of it, what's your feelings on it now, the scheme and how it will work and operate? Not necessarily whether it will achieve 100%, because that's, or if you want to comment on that, that's up to you. But I mean, how do you think in real terms this is going to work for people who can work with it?
I think the quicker that we get down to actually getting at the scheme and get the right team in place within Donegal County Council and within the housing department, it'll be like any other scheme. Whenever you're going for ordinary planning, or you're going for a fire certificate or any of that, the easier that you try to make it, and the easier the whole way through. The situation is, if we get it right, people, in fairness to people there that are, some people are downsizing, I know they're not getting the financial benefit for downsizing, but they're also there. If you are doing a house and then around 2,000 square foot, and you go and you get your planning permission for change of house type, you're in a situation then where you're getting over 400,000, and that will still build you a very good house, in my opinion. That's where we need to get. We need to get our head around it first, and then start looking at it from a positive position, that we have an opportunity here to change our house and to design a house that maybe suits us. Maybe our children now are of an age and that they've moved out of the house, and maybe we don't need the two or three sitting rooms or the bigger house that we can. That'll not suit everybody.
Now, I accept that that's your point of view, and we're coming to the end of the programme, we'll not get into it, but I also want to recognise too that's, again, a compromise that people might have to make that they feel they shouldn't have to make. But as I say, we'll not get into that. I know you've expressed that. All right, Councillor Canning, thank you very much indeed. That is Councillor Paul Canning, 086 60 25,000. A caller observed over the weekend that out of six disabled spaces in a public car park, there was only one car which displayed a blue disabled parking badge. Right, okay. Shouldn't be the case at all. Letterkenny University Hospital is a disgrace. 3 years ago, treated like a leper and won't be going back. I thought I had COVID made light outside in corridors, was told they'd be out. Not once. I cried with pain and at 5 a.m. got a bed, lay in. Nobody came near me. Had to scream to get someone to come as no buzzer in the room. Turns out I hadn't got COVID. The topic on your radio station about Letterkenny Hospital and about having no money. Why the hell did they give the car park money away to another company instead of using it for the hospital? As that lady said on the radio, the management of the hospital couldn't run a bath. She's definitely right. If Lynn McDevitt, who was on with us on Friday, well worth listening back to that interview. If Lynn McDevitt stands for the Dáil, I'll vote for her for sure. Lynn was saying, look at, you know, the people that have influence need to start exercising that. Well said, Lynn, says another. Hi, Greg. I agree 100% what Lynn said on the programme on Friday. I've been a few times and it's disgraceful what's happening in Letterkenny Hospital. Nurses or healthcare assistants out and out, patients taking blood pressure in front of everyone and asking your medical history. How degrading for the patient. On one of the nights I was there, I seen at least six people get up and go home. One gentleman was called to go in three times and sent back out again. He went home as well. Lynn is right. My husband died in Letterkenny University Hospital, went in after a fall, told me to go home. He was okay, sleeping, but he was in a coma. I didn't know any different. He died a few hours later. That is just heartbreaking. Greg, Lynn was 100% right. The Minister for Health should spend a day in the emergency department. Another, can you please read out? I was in last Monday, was needing urgent brain scan, no beds, and I'm still waiting for that scan. Fair play to Lynn. I have two elderly parents, one with dementia and a mobile from a stroke 2 years ago, and the other who just recently received a terminal cancer diagnosis, have spent many, many hours in the ED over the past few years. Most staff are lovely and helpful, but my God, there doesn't seem to be any sense with the way things are run. The horror that it strikes in my parents when they are told they have to go to the hospital. Another, the problem with the ED is that they keep sending people home only to have to start the waiting process over and over again. Caller states a family member has been sent home and readmitted four times in the past month. The present Minister for Health talks a great game, says this listener, but he hasn't or isn't delivering. Just look at the new children's hospital. Let me see, I want to stay on topic here. Totally agree with Lynn talking about the ED. We witnessed, there's a fly in this room. It's like that episode of Breaking Bad. It won't leave me alone. Totally agree with that lady talking about ED. We witnessed how bad it was in there with an elderly parent. Only for we kept speaking up, she would still be there. Felt sorry for vulnerable people that don't have anyone speaking for them. Staff were brilliant, but it's a management problem. Money's been thrown into a black hole. Unless it is utilised and managed properly, it's a waste of funding. Communication there is a major problem. My parent was told a scan was needed. After 36 hours, she got a bed. When we inquired about the scan, she was not on a list. Because particularly this particular scan is not done at weekends. She used up a bed for that weekend, and after several phone calls to ensure she was on a list, she eventually got scanned and was then discharged. So that was one bed that should have been freed up over the weekend if things were managed properly. This is only one common problem with a simple solution. A better system needs to be used, even an intercom to call patients. It would be interesting if a survey was taken on how much time is wasted for doctors walking around calling out names looking for a patient, and on it goes. Thank you very much for all of your calls and comments coming in this morning. I really do appreciate it. Any that we didn't get to, as you know, we'll carry them over to tomorrow because they're all incredibly valuable. Thanks to Caroline Orr, who researched and produced, Niamh Shields working on the show, looking after the social media and what have you as well. Really appreciate the efforts of both. Stay tuned. John Breslin's coming up around the Northwest after the news at 12. But for me, Greg Hughes and the team, have a fantastic day. Chat to you tomorrow at 9 a.m.